Well, between sickness and weather and traveling, about half of us are not here, it looks like. So we're very appreciative of those of you who are traveling from Alabama to Indiana being with us today. Hope you have safe journeys and a pleasant visit. I'd like to focus our attention this morning on Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 through 20. This is a time of year when a lot of people are talking about the birth of Jesus, and we're glad that people are talking about it, but sometimes we fail to recognize the significance of his birth and why he came and what it means to us and what we need to be doing about it. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, says, "There were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, and it was told them." There's so much that we can look at here and appreciate in the story of the birth of Jesus, but Luke here is focused upon the shepherds and the message that was brought to the shepherds by the angels, and how that they responded to that message. They didn't just say, "Wow, what did we just see? Did we just see that? Are we really sure?" No, they were certain of it. And they went into Bethlehem to find this child lying in a feeding trough, really, this manger, knowing that indeed this was the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. And having seen that and taking all of that in, not just, you know, certainly the angels, then going to Bethlehem, seeing everything just like the angels said that they would see it, I'm impressed with, and I want us to be impressed this morning, with what it says their reaction afterwards. When they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at these things, and told them by the shepherds. And the shepherds returned from Bethlehem, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen and the things that were told them. I want to focus on those three verses this morning and entitle our lesson this morning, "Having Seen Jesus." The shepherds saw Jesus and they realized that they had a responsibility for what they had seen. And I want to impress upon us that we see Jesus today, the Word of God, who is made flesh but is preserved for us in the pages of what we call the Bible, the inspired Word of God. They made widely known the saying which was told them concerning Christ. All those that heard what the shepherds were saying marveled at those things that were told them by the shepherds. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, and it was told them. I want to look at these three statements. All those who have seen Jesus are to make widely known the gospel of Christ. That just as the shepherds made known what had been told them concerning this child, we, through the eye of faith, have seen Jesus as well. In John chapter 1 and verses 32 through 36, John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit. This is John the Baptist. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him, and I did not know him. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, said, behold, the Lamb of God. So, here we find John the Baptist, who had been told by God that upon whomsoever you see the Spirit of God descending and remaining, that is the Christ. That is the Savior of mankind. And when John the Baptist saw that, he declared it. You and I have seen Jesus through an eye of faith. Notice also in John chapter 20, in verses 18 through 31, it says, Mary Magdalene at the resurrection of Jesus. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They saw the Lord. Mary had seen the Lord. She was glad. She reported what she had seen. Here now the disciples see Jesus. They're glad. So Jesus said to them, again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples, therefore, said to him, we have seen the Lord. They saw the Lord, they declared what they had seen. So he said, Thomas said to them, unless I see his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Unless I see, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them, and Jesus came, the doors being shut, and he stood in their midst and said, peace to you. And then said to Thomas, reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You see the progression there? Just as the shepherds saw and heard what the angel said and then went to Bethlehem and saw what was declared unto them, they then in turn declared it unto others. Very similar to that, at the resurrection of Jesus, when Mary saw the resurrected Jesus, she declared it to the disciples. When the disciples saw the resurrected Jesus, they declared it to Thomas. And Thomas, having seen Jesus, recognizes that he has a responsibility too. But notice what Jesus says here. to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen but have believed. In other words, they're not going to see with their eyes, but they will see through an eye of faith. They will hear. Notice he says here, as you come down to verse 31, these are written that you might believe. You can see these things. You can see these miracles that were performed. You can see the words that Jesus said. You can see the actions of the apostles. You can see all of these things as it's recorded in the inspired Word of God. And in believing, you can have life in His name. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18, we read, "Why we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe, Jesus said. Well, working off of that, and if you accentuate the positive here in 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, "We look at the things which are not seen." Well, if they're not seen, how can you look at them? Well, we're looking at them. How do we look? Well, God's revealed them to us. These things which are eternal. So, do we see them with our physical eye? No. But do we see them through an eye of faith that comes by hearing the Word of God and trusting that and obeying it and acting upon it and living to the glory of God? Yes, we do. In Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20, Jesus spoke with them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Similar to that, in Mark 16 and verses 15 and 16, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." So they had seen Jesus, hadn't they? They had seen Him and touched Him. They'd lived with Him. They'd heard His teaching. They believed Him. They trusted Him. They saw His resurrection. They were with Him after the resurrection. They ate and drank with Him. They saw the miracles that He performed. And Jesus, in essence, is saying to them as He is ascending back to be with the Father, He's saying, "You've got a responsibility now to go and to tell, to teach others what I have taught you, to go into all the world and teach everyone these things that I have taught you. They who believe and are baptized will be saved. They who do not believe, those who are not baptized, those who do not continue in my word, they will be condemned." And so there's a great responsibility here. You know, it's kind of like what we're looking at as we're beginning our study of Ezekiel in our adult Bible study. That Ezekiel is being shown things, he's seen things, he's hearing things from God. And God is going to tell him, "You've got a responsibility now. That what you've seen and heard, you need to tell to others." And just as the apostles saw and heard Jesus, they now know the will of God. They have been given the Word of God, and they gave it to us, and we have read it and believed it and trusted it. We have a responsibility now to tell others. Having seen Jesus, we need to show others this Jesus, this Son of God, the Savior of mankind. In Acts 4 and verses 18 through 20, in the early days of the church here, it says they called them and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. The Sanhedrin has brought the apostles before them, and you know, they've healed a man that had never walked. He'd been lame from birth. The Sanhedrin calls them in, questions about this, and you know, what are they going to do about it? Well, it's obvious what they should do. They should believe. But instead of that, they command them not to teach or speak in the name of Jesus? And Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Let me ask you a question. Are there people today who tell us, you cannot speak or teach in the name of Jesus? You can't bring a Bible to school. You can't read a Bible in the public schoolroom. You can't bring your Bible to work and read your Bible on lunch break. You can't talk to people about Jesus. You can't evangelize here. Are you hearing things like that today? You can't set up a manger scene on the city square. You can't tell people about Jesus and that Jesus is the Son of God and that He was born. That He came to save men from their sins. That He is the only one through which we can be saved. You can't tell people that. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you be the judge. We cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody. Tell them what I have taught you. Teach them everything. They need to do that. But they don't want to hear it, Jesus. Oh, well, okay. You don't have to do it then. You don't have to. No, you keep teaching. There'll be somebody out there. There's somebody out there. Jesus knows. There's somebody out there who's seeking and knocking and asking. And my word is promised that I'm going to send somebody to him to teach him. You might be that one. Are you praying daily that God would give you an opportunity to speak to somebody who's knocking and searching, asking? God providentially brings people together. People who want to be saved and people who want to save. God providentially will bring them together. May God fill within each of us a heart that is burning, that cannot help but speak the things which God has revealed to us in the pages of His blessed book. It says of the shepherds, and as they gave the report, it says, all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The shepherds told you that a descendant of David is born in the city of Bethlehem? That he's the Christ, the Messiah? They've been looking for the Messiah for a long time. And now he's born in a stable, in a manger? The kind of awe that comes from seeing God at work in the world. People are filled with awe when they see God at work in the world. All those who have heard the gospel marvel at it in one way or another. That's not to say that everybody who hears the gospel believes it and obeys it. They all marvel at it. They all marvel at this good news that God Almighty has sent His only begotten Son in the form of man to be born of a virgin to bear the sins of the world. That sounds marvelous. I mean, it sounds fantastic. In John 11, verses 45 through 48, it says, then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in Him. You know, having come to Mary, having seen the things that Jesus was doing, now they believe. They're marveling. It goes on to say, but some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Well, so what? So what if we no longer have the government sanctioning of the Roman Empire for us to continue with our Jewish religion? The Messiah has come. You can't deny these miracles that he's done. You can't deny what he said. What he's saying is plain. And the fact that what he's saying is the Word of God is confirmed by the miracles that he's performing. What are we going to do? Duh! Believe on him. It doesn't matter what it costs you. Believe on him, trust him, and obey him. But people make the same mistake today. People look at Jesus, they marvel at him, they marvel at the message, and then they start saying, but if I believe that, then, well, that's not what my relatives believe or believe. That's not what my boyfriend or my girlfriend believes. That's not what my friends believe. It's not political. We start thinking of the consequences of our belief and how we're going to be faced with a cross to bear. Jesus said, count the cost. Count the cost, but follow me. Follow me. I win this thing. And those who are with me win with me, will live with me in glory in eternity among the heavenly host. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 15. Isaiah foretold, kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. Even the kings of the earth are going to be told these wonderful things. They'll have to consider them. You see, God is not a respecter of persons, and God's word is not a respecter of persons. God's word convicts mankind. Any man. I don't care who they are. Why is it that the, why? There's two times of the year that you hear from atheists. Christmas and Easter. Why is that? Because everybody's talking about God. Everybody's talking about Jesus at Christmas and Easter. They're not talking about God at other times of the year, and so the atheists can kind of get away with that. But when people start talking about God and people start talking about Jesus, then the atheists get all upset and say, well, we don't want to hear it. Why is that? Because it convicts them of their sin. You're either going to accept it or you're going to reject it. You're either going to enjoy, accept this gospel of peace and be at peace with God, or you're going to realize that you're an enemy of God. You're on the outs with Almighty God. That's not a good place to be. Having seen Jesus in the manger, it says the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. For all the things that they had heard and seen, when the angels appeared to them as they were keeping their sheep, and they saw the glory of the heavenly host, they heard the message that they gave them, and then they went to Bethlehem and they saw Jesus and Joseph and Mary. Everything just as God said, as the angels had declared. We weren't crazy. It really did happen. They really did talk to us. It was just as they said, and it's just as glorious as we imagined it would be. So also, isn't that the way it is every time you read the Word of God and you study the Word of God and you meditate on the Word of God and you practice the Word of God? Don't you find yourself coming away from that marveling of what you have heard and read and understood and put into practice, and how much better your life is because you're in agreement with the peace treaty, the gospel of peace in Jesus Christ? You know, to glorify something means to recognize it, its true worth, its true value. They glorified God. They glorified the message that was given them. They glorified what they recognized the value of it. Yes, indeed, this is the Messiah that has been foretold of. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things they had heard and seen as it was told them. I want you to notice that. They glorified God for what they had heard and seen as it was told them. They didn't change it. They didn't change the message. They didn't embellish the message. Now, you realize what kind of an opportunity they had when they got to Bethlehem and they saw the infant Jesus there? And how that they told about the angel and what the angel had said and about the heavenly host and the singing and all of that that took place. Do you realize they could have embellished that even more? They could have added to that. They could have, you might say they could have taken away. Said, some of that's just too, they won't believe that part of it, so we'll just leave that out. No, they talked about everything that they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. People today look in the Word of God and they see how marvelous it is, how simple it is, how plain it is. They say, well, it can't be that easy. It can't mean that. It can't mean just what it says. It must mean something else. We have to add to it, take away from it. No. We need to look at this example and act in accordance with this example. The same thing's expected of us. They were to go and to see and to tell, and they went and they saw and they told, just as it was told them. Having seen Jesus, let us return to our daily task, glorifying and praising God for all that we have seen through the eye of faith and heard from His Word of truth. That as we go forth from this place today, wherever you go and whatever you do, go forth declaring what you know, what you have seen from the Word of God, what you know about Jesus of Nazareth, that He is our Savior, that He is the builder of His church, the body of the saved, that He came to seek and save the lost. And that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all lost. And if it wasn't for Jesus, we would remain lost with no hope. But He is our hope. And if we entertain a valid hope of heaven, that can only be entertained in believing and trusting, obeying Him, glorifying Him in the life that we live. If you're here today and you're outside of Christ, and you know it. You know you sin. You know that you're guilty of your sin. And Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. I will give you peace. I will give you rest. I will take your sins upon me. That's what I died for. That's what I was born for, to die for you. To pay the price of your sin. Will you let me do that? Will you give your sin to Him? And then rise to live for Him, to His praise and His glory, obeying Him, continuing steadfastly in His Word from this day forward? We would hope so. If you're here today and you're a child of God, be impressed with this. Be impressed with what was told to shepherds and what they saw and what they heard and how they proclaimed it, and recognize that, you know, we've seen it too. We've seen it too. Maybe not. You know, we haven't seen the print of in His hands and in His side, and we can't reach forth our hand like Thomas did, but we can believe. Having not seen it with our eyes, through the eye of faith, we can see it. And having seen it, we need to obey Him and declare Him in our life every day. as a husband, as a wife, as a father, a mother, as a child, under the direction of my parents, honor them. See, these are ways that we declare that I believe what Jesus, because Jesus tells us how to fulfill all those responsibilities. As an employer, as an employee, as a member of the church. Everything we do and everything we say to His praise and to His glory, because He came to live for us and to die for us. If you're subject to the invitation today, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.